the van life.
What's up, friends, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Frankie.
And I'm Alex.
And together we are FNA Van Life.
Every week we bring you guys news from the nomadic community or share, the thunder. Right now we are sitting in Guanajuato, Mexico, which I guess is more like central Mexico. And it thunders every afternoon, which is really cool. And actually, I love being here in rainy season.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I have that song stuck in my head. Uh-oh, I got to keep it moving. You know what I'm talking about? It's like the ain't nobody gonna break my stride.
Why is that stuck in your head?
I don't know, with the thunder thing. For some reason, it popped in my head.
Okay. All right, well, this week is our favorite time of the month because we are gonna come at you with some hard-hitting nomadic news.
And if you know from the last couple months that the way that we do this is we give you almost all the news and then we send you over to our Patreon to figure out all the rest of the news, because this helps support the journey, support the travel, support the podcast. It keeps us doing all this stuff. So maybe before we even get into it, if you guys want to jump on over, become a Patreon, support the dream, and we'll give you more of the podcast.
And you can listen to this entire episode ad-free over on the Patreon account. So we hope that you will join us there. But before we dive in to all the news from today, I want to give a great big thank you because we got a review.
Yeah, baby.
The review of the week is from Adios Mondays. I like that.
Me too.
They say this is their first podcast review ever, so if they could do it, you could do it.
What?
Thanks for having a great show. It's truly the only one I look for each week and listen to immediately. It's the realness for me.
Yes. We always try to keep it as real as possible. I mean, really, we're just real people doing real things. And our life might seem like a dream to other people, but it's very realistic to us. And we want to try to help you guys get into this lifestyle, if that's what you're looking for, or get you into whatever lifestyle that you want to do, because it's all about living your actual dream. Figuring out the way to do it is what we did, and that was setting goals and figuring it out. And yeah, we're so lucky to be able to bring our dream directly to you guys through our content.
Yeah, we absolutely love it. And I think it's really cool the way that we get to share all these different nomadic experiences as well, because our journey is ours. And, you know, obviously lots of people can get, you know, tips and information to, you know, make their own dreams a reality. But by interviewing the people that we do almost every single week, it just helps bring more information and more different lifestyles, and it just makes nomadic living more attainable to more people.
Well, yeah, it's, you're going to be able to find somebody who is like you, who has similar, you know, characteristics or personalities through this podcast, and which will eventually give you the ideas that you need and the beliefs that you need to get yourself going, whether it's through the into the nomadic community or into a different lifestyle, like I said earlier.
Yeah, so our first article from today is actually from globalnews.ca, which is a very big news outlet in Canada.
Mm. Hey, Chris, do you hear that?
Who, my dad?
Yeah, doesn't he, isn't that like Globe and Mail?
They're two different things.
Oh,
the Globe and Mail and Global News are, just because they're both globes doesn't mean they're the same.
Hey, as you can tell, I'm definitely from the United States.
So this article is called Canadians Convert Vans into Homes to Overcome 9-to-5 Grind.
These are the people that we call the famous people, though, in our community.
Yeah, so first up, we have Chrome Valdez. If you know his YouTube channel, what's it called?
It's called, that went blank there. I know he calls his people weirdos. I know that much.
Van City Van Life.
Yes. Van City Van Life, which is somebody we know in the sense of the community, but we don't know him personally. A lot of people that actually watch our channel also watch his channel and will leave comments like, oh, Chrome did this or whatever. So we know exactly who Chrome is in the sense of his videos. We know that he used to be a DJ and he used to work other 9-to-5 jobs, but he got tired of the rat race, just like a lot of us out there do. We get tired of the rat race and we try to figure out how we could do something different. And for him, van life was totally the lifestyle that he wanted, because he wanted to be able to feel like he was living every day, not just going through the motions.
Yeah, and same is true for his girlfriend, Emily. She also got into van life because she didn't want to do the 9-to-5 hustle anymore. She slept in a car for a full year, And then was saving money on rent and purchased the van after living in the car, which I think is really noble that, you know, she cut her expenses so drastically.
That she was able to afford a van.
Yeah. 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 And so she's the YouTuber Cat Van Lady. Wait, I always, the Cat Lady Van. I get that jumbled up. I don't know why. Yeah.
It's a mouthful.
But yeah, so the two of them are now a couple. Yeah. They met on the road, and they both have very successful YouTube channels. And so this is one of the ways that I think a lot of people come into the lifestyle wanting to make money. And it's actually funny because I feel like a lot of young people, their, like, dream career is YouTuber. And so the same is true for a lot of people in the van life community. They're coming into it wanting to grow this channel. And I think Chrome said something really interesting in this podcast. You know, he's had his channel for many years now, and he says the YouTube that it generates with 200,000 subscribers fluctuates, sometimes good months, sometimes bad months, but they kept him full, kept the dog full, and kept them traveling.
Yeah, and which is very true for us as well. Like, we have very good months, we have extremely bad months, but since we've figured out a different, like, bunch of different ways to diversify and figure out different ways to make money, which I'm sure he's doing as well, it keeps food in our belly, it keeps gas in the tank, it keeps Paco having treats. He just looked at me like,
he was
what?
Like, whoa, what?
What'd you say, Dad?
Did you say the T word? Because I'm into that.
But realistically, he's right. You're going to have really good months, you're going to have bad months. You might have only bad months if you're just starting a channel. And don't jump into it as like, oh, I want to be a YouTuber if you actually don't want to do the work of being a YouTuber. Because it is constant work, constant, you know, in your face. Like, camera's got to be out every once in a while, or a lot of the time. You have to have an idea of what you want to film. You really got to be able to tell a story. Chrome kind of has this background of being the DJ, being able to, like, almost tell a story through music.
And, like, captivate an audience.
Captivate an audience, which helps him out a lot in the sense of creating, in the sense of video making. But with that being said, anybody can do it. It's just, it's a lot of work. There's a decent amount of, like, overhead that you have to come up with, whether it's, like, buying a camera or using your phone. The phone is expensive. Or, you know, getting editing software or music that you're going to use. There's ways to make that all free for yourself, too. So it could be as cheap as you want or as expensive as you want it to be.
But shout out to globalnews.ca for highlighting two of the biggest Canadian YouTube van lifers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anybody else that you would say is, like, more established in the van life community in Canada?
Yeah, Eamon and Beck.
Oh, well,
Van wives.
Gosh, dang it, you're good at this. Well, I think Chrome is one of, like, the OGs.
Yes, he's one of the OGs, and I will say that he was a solo traveler. The other two people that I just talked about were couples on the road.
Right.
So he was very much solo. He was all about Weirdos Unite. He was all about the person that, you know, might be the older male that that's looking to do van life, or he might bring in some of the older crowd that loves to think about this lifestyle and travel and, you know, changing their lifestyle, getting away from the 9-to-5, maybe have an early retirement and doing this. You know, he would be a person that I would look after if I was around that time frame.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's why we have all the different guests on the show, to showcase you different kinds of people, ages, genders, races, everything, so you can find yourself in the guest.
We did ask Chrome to come on the podcast at one point in time. He did respond saying that he would be up for it, but then he didn't have time, which is totally understandable.
It was like a friend of a friend.
He was super busy.
Yeah.
I get it.
No hard feelings.
No hard feelings. But Chrome,
maybe
if you're hearing this
happen
and you want to come on the podcast, we would love to have you.
The next little bit of news is from a website I had no idea even existed, called BachelorNation.com. And not Bachelor, like the single guy.
But like Bachelorette.
And Bachelor, like the TV show.
Yeah.
So they have a whole website dedicated to news from people who've been on The Bachelor.
I guess there's a niche for it.
Apparently. So this article is about Caitlin and Dean, who are back on the road living van life after 9 months.
Were they like a van lifers before, or like, I don't watch The Bachelor, so I have no idea.
No, well, so their love unfolded On season 6 of Bachelor in Paradise, they ended up leaving the beach together to continue their relationship, and they've been going strong ever since.
Good for them.
The fan-favorite couple has bought a house together in Las Vegas and adopted a new dog, and they've been traveling the world. But now, Dean and Caitlin and Alistair, their dog, are hitting the road together again, living in their van. Which, I have to give them props for this, because their van is...
It's a T1N.
It's an older van. This is our original van that we actually started traveling in, the T1N Dodge Sprinter. So, I think it's cool that, I mean, obviously, they're doing okay for themselves. They have 1.2 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah, I think they'll make it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they could have bought a super bougie van if they wanted to. But they ended up buying this T1N van because I feel like... Well, I mean, I don't know Dean and Caitlin very well, but you don't need a giant, fancy, cool, all bells and whistles van to do van life.
Once again, it could be whatever you want. It could be crates on the walls and making it, you know, whatever feels comfortable for you living the van life, because it might only be a temporary thing for you. It might only be six months. It might only be 3 weeks. It might be 7 years or 10 years. So, you know, spending that money on the van all depends on how you're going to live the lifestyle. And I'm sure that at some point in time, they can either hold on to the van or sell it if they want, and at least recoup some of the money that they bought it for.
Sure, and I'm best going to look good in their Las Vegas driveway when they're done traveling and come on back home.
Yep.
But so props to Caitlin and Dean for spreading van life into a new community. Who knows how many Bachelor and Bachelorette lovers had heard of van life before this.
Maybe we'll see if they want to come on the podcast.
You know, we could always ask. Okay, coming up next, we've got a little bit more of a hard hitting from the insider, who is, you know, the source of information on van life. It's funny, actually, this month when I was going through all of the news articles, there are so many articles about van life. But then we were also talking recently about, like, is van life dead?
I mean, I feel like in a way, like the hashtag possibly is dead, but the lifestyle is not dead.
Yeah, but like, are there that many new people getting into van life every day?
I think there is. I think every day there's more and more people, a lot of people in the process right now of building their van.
100%.
Or their bus, or their Prius, or their truck, or whatever it is that they're building. But so I don't think that it's slowing. I think it might slow down a little bit. But there's still more people getting into it now than when we were getting into it in 2019.
And I guess we'll see what happens. Everybody's talking about this housing crisis. And a lot of people might, you know, not be able to afford to live in their homes anymore. And so van life might explode even more for people who are looking for an alternative way to live. So this article is about a woman who... This is what it's called. I tried living the aspirational nomadic van life I saw on social media and wound up homeless. I hope my TikToks can warn people against making the same mistake.
So there are several mistakes that she made, personally, I think, trying to get into this lifestyle. One, she rented a van, and she was renting out a van instead of having her own that she already paid off. One thing that we talk about and stress is to be able to come into this lifestyle debt-free if you could do that. So, buying a van that is fairly cheap and just throwing some stuff into it, according to your budget and what you could do, will allow you to be on the road for longer and allow you to, you know, feel more comfortable in your situation.
Yeah, and I think that it's important to know, too, that getting into the lifestyle, you want to be very aware of what your monthly costs are. So if you know that you're going to have an X amount of payment for the vehicle, she also had an X amount of payment for a storage locker.
She also said that the way that she was going to do it is by staying in hotels. So that's not really being in the van life.
To hear all of Frankie's hot take on this article, be sure to come and join our Patreon community. The link is in the description below. It so helps us continue to make these podcasts for you, and we would be so grateful for your support. FNAvanlife.com/Patreon. Okay, next up, San Diego flippin' hates van lifers. And I just don't get it. I mean, I understand that, like, San Diego and California in general is a mecca for van life, and they've probably been experiencing it for a really long time. And, you know, probably a lot of people go to these cities around the same times.
I feel like we parked on the street.
Oh, we probably did. But increased enforcement, unhappy residents, and other factors discourage van camping on the shores, but they've moved to a different neighborhood. So, yeah, if you literally go on one street and tell everybody they can't park on this one street, you haven't actually kicked them out of San Diego. You've just moved them to a different neighborhood.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is this, right? Are the people in the vans there causing any issues? Are they actually, like, causing an issue? Are they polluting or doing anything bad? You know, in this article, it doesn't really describe anything that they're doing bad. It's just people living in the house are just upset that they're there.
So the one thing it does say is that this neighborhood has limited parking. Well, then put up a sign that says you can only park here for this many hours, or you can only be parked here on these days. Yep. Or because if there's no rule, then couldn't somebody who lives in the house just park their car there 24/7?
Well, and what if like somebody, like a neighbor, had several friends that were going to stay for 3 months, you know, and they decided they were going to park on the street and take up, you know, a bunch of spaces.
Yeah. So basically, living in your vehicle, habitation in San Diego is apparently not allowed.
It's not allowed if you're 500 feet from a house or a school at any hour.
Or you're on a public city street or on public property. So if you're trying to camp... Oh, our internet went out.
If you were on private property, you'd be okay?
Well, yes. I think if you're on a private property, so like if you're on your friend's driveway,
so if you're parking your friend's
driveway, you're okay. But if you're trying to camp at like a Walmart or something like that, then it's not okay. And so they're saying habitation includes sleeping, bathing, preparing or cooking meals, possessing, storing items that are not associated with ordinary vehicle use, such as a sleeping bag, bag roll, blanket, sheets, pillows, bedding, kitchen utensils, cookware, cooking equipment, blah, 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 blah.
We really went in depth.
But so that means that you can't have an RV, basically, in this town.
Unless you own a house there.
Unless you own a house there.
And then if you own the house there, you can only stay in your parking, your driveway. They probably, what they're trying to encourage here is people staying in RV parks.
Yeah.
But here's the problem in RV parks in, say, San Diego and other places in California, is they're like at $50 minimum to stay at that RV park.
Yeah.
And it's probably completely packed.
Yeah.
So do they have to put a time limit on how long you could stay at that RV park?
Well, and the thing that I really hate about this is that they're taking these weird, secret, sneaky photos of van lifers. So a person uses a sink at the Kellogg Park restroom, so a public park restroom, reportedly after emerging from a van parked nearby.
If you want to learn what happens and what Alex thinks about the people emerging from the van, make sure to come over and join the Patreon. It's one way to support the channel and to hear all the information that you want to know about van life. So come on over, fnavanlife.com/Patreon.
The next article is from reportdoor.com. It's called, I Tried Van Life and It Only Lasted 2 Months. Here are the 9 most disappointing parts of life on the road.
Here we go again.
I feel like most of these articles, people go into van life with all these high expectations and then they are let down.
So looking at their vehicle already, because you can see the photo, they have a very small van. It looks like it might be not necessarily even a van.
It's a minivan. It looks like a mom soccer minivan.
But even smaller, no? Like a micro minivan.
Like a large SUV.
And, you know, people do it out of Priuses, so you can do it out of anything that you want. So I'm not taking away from that. But let's go.
Okay, so she is in New Zealand, which is somewhere that we would love to do van life. So many beautiful places to explore in New Zealand. She's a native New Zealander, and her job went fully remote, and so she figured, why not do it out of a vehicle? So at this point, you're working a 40-hour job out of a minivan, which is going to have some challenges.
Yes, a lot of them.
The first is, where are you going to set your computer up and have your workstation?
Especially if most of your day is working. You know, you really want to have a nice, comfortable space for you to be able to work in. And if you're doing a remote job, sitting outside is going to be a lot of the options when you have a low roof. Every once in a while, you might tuck yourself into the van. And then you got to make sure that you have good airflow in your van, too, as well.
Mm-hmm. She said it was a great sleeping nook, but a terrible workstation. Mm-hmm. When we were living out of that car for that short week, I found the most annoying thing was that we couldn't charge any of our devices. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't have solar, we didn't have a power bank, we didn't have anything like that. We were basically relegated to going to coffee shops or into libraries to power our computers. Mm-hmm. If we had had like a Jackery or something like that, that we could have, you know, charged with a portable solar panel, it might have been a little bit more comfortable.
And I would have probably placed myself at parks and or beaches and or places along those lines, so that way I could feel a lot more comfortable sitting outside of, you know, the small car.
Yeah, and like it would definitely be good to have like a like an outdoor table and an outdoor chair that was comfortable enough that you could sit and work in. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you're going into it knowing that you have a 40-hour a week job, the first thing that she did was like, or that she was upset about, was that it wasn't as pristine or as Instagram van life aesthetic as it was on social media.
Well, once again, I think that's an issue. Going into it with the idea that you want it to be Instagram-y or, you know, that aspect of life, like, that's not realistic. You know, depending on your budget and everything that you have going on, that just might not be the way for you. And once again, it's all about how you look at it. You could put small little things in there that make it Instagram friendly if you really wanted to, but you're going to always see the blemishes of whatever vehicle you live in. Like, I could pick apart our van in certain little ways, but somebody else will come in here and be like, wow, this is incredible.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, it doesn't matter how it looks as long as it functions well. And a lot of the people who have the really big Instagram accounts literally just take all of the junk that's not in its right home, put it outside of the picture frame.
Or in the front space or somewhere.
And then take the really nice photo without having all of the stuff in it. So a lot of what you see on social media is a lie anyways. I think that if you follow accounts like Frankie and I on Instagram and TikTok, you'll see a lot more of the real life stuff. But if you're just looking at the beautiful shots and the, you know, the view out the side door and, oh, look how beautiful and pristine my living space is, just know that that was manufactured. And they probably spent 30 to 40 minutes cleaning beforehand and arguing about the lighting and do, you know, whatever to get that shot.
Yes, 100%.
So next up, Wi-Fi and mobile reception dictated my route. If you are working a full-time 40-hour-a-week job, you need the internet most of the time.
And we don't know how it is in New Zealand, but I can tell you what, in the States, it's been pretty decent. And when we do get to remote places, we have to plan on making sure that we have everything ready to go and posted before we go out to remote places where we don't have service.
But now that we have Starlink, that might change a little bit, that we don't have to plan so far ahead because we have multiple ways to get internet. So not only do we have our cell phones, we have a GlocalMe with a secondary SIM card. So we not only have T-Mobile, we have in Mexico, we have Telcel. So we have two different cell phone providers. So if the one tower is not pinging, the other one might be. We also have our cell phone booster. We also have our Wi-Fi PepWave maker.
Which PepWave allows us to grab service or Wi-Fi from the local coffee shops or anything that we're near that has Wi-Fi. If it's an open public Wi-Fi network or we get the password, we could sign in and work from our van through somebody else's Wi-Fi.
And now we have Starlink as well. So we have a plethora of ways to make internet because our job requires us to have internet. So as we're traveling, we need to be connected to the internet. And so part of building our van, an important part of building our van, was setting up for that.
Correct.
So I don't think her minivan was set up for that.
No, and I think that's the reason why ultimately, you know, 2 months in, she kind of gave up on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, she says, too, entertainment options were limited. You can download stuff before you go offline watch it offline.
I think one of the things about van life and this lifestyle is a lot of us are entertained by what's outside. You know, we go on hikes and we, you know, a lot of people write in journals and write books and, you know, are busy creating content. So they're always living within the moments that they're having inside the lifestyle, which is very rewarding at the end of it. And so entertainment kind of becomes second hand to a lot of van lifers or people that are just nomadic living.
Yeah, there's so much to do outside. You don't need to be in your phone all of the time. Mm-hmm. So another thing that she found hard was the weather. And I could totally see that because, as, you know, even us in this big ProMaster van, if it's raining and storming outside, you're stuck inside.
I love that you say big because I think about, like, you know, the trailers that people have and they pull. And they have, like, a full-size house-size trailer. And, like, obviously ours is big compared to what she had. You know, so it's just funny to hear that word. But yeah, you're right. The aspect of, like, when it's raining outside, we're kind of stuck inside a bit. We could have our awning up and kind of sit there and get drizzled on a little bit. But, you know, we tend to, we like our space. So we tend to be in our space quite often.
Well, and the nice thing about our space in the rain, I mean, you guys heard it's thundering outside and it's raining right now. We have an area to sit and eat. We have an area to cook. We can do yoga. We can sit on the couch. We can sit in the front. We can work in the back. We can make the bed. We have a lot of options in here. Whereas I feel like in a smaller vehicle or a minivan or an actual, like a Prius or something like that,
there's normally, like, one or two options.
Yeah, like you have your seat and, like, that's it. And, you know,
you got to really like those spots that you're sitting in.
Yeah. So she didn't find a lot of camaraderie on campgrounds. I can kind of see this.
Mm-hmm.
She says a lot of the people who were out there were retirees, so not in her demographic. And we kind of find the same thing. A lot of campgrounds, not so much in Mexico, because I feel like a lot of the travelers and RV people down in Mexico are either, you know, more around our age a little bit. And the campsites down here are so much less expensive that the younger people are willing to pay for them.
Yes, correct. Also, I will say that a lot of them speak English. So when they see other people pull up that speak English, they're kind of excited to speak English. You know, I mean, granted, you'll have people that speak Spanish that want to talk to you as well. We were in an RV park in Roca Azul, and there were everybody there pretty much only spoke Spanish, but we still managed to communicate with three or four different people while we were there, and they were much older than us. So, it, you know, that could also be, you know, within yourself or just within the people that you're around, and they're just not interested in, you know, creating conversation. One thing is like, we talked to Lisa recently on the podcast, and you can go back and look at that. Maybe it's the questions that you might be asking. So sometimes being able to dig a little bit deeper and ask questions that go a little bit deeper might allow them to jump into the conversation a little bit faster and be able to get more into the nitty-gritty of who they are and what's going on in their lives.
Yeah, and I think, you know, starting the conversation is a great place to begin, because a lot of people aren't open to opening the line of communication. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we found this in RV parks as well. People tend to kind of, like, stay to themselves. Mm-hmm. They're like, here's me and me, here's my RV. And they'll maybe say hello as you walk by, but they're not, you know, starting the conversation.
Yeah, and realistically, we probably find this in the van life community in general. Like, people will be like, I parked here. Why'd the person have to park right freaking next to me in dispersed camping? And we have friends that feel that way, you know. But I think that, once again, it goes with how you talk to people. So, like, we would probably pull up and we would wave hello, but we wouldn't park right on top of them. We would wave hi, and if they're receptive to that, then we'd be like, hey, where are you guys from, you know, and like, what got you into the lifestyle, you know, and so on and so forth. And we would ask questions accordingly to hopefully where we grow a friendship with these people and maybe possibly be able to hang out later that night. And it doesn't always work out to where we're like playing cards with them later on. Sometimes it's just a, you know, conversation in passing. But 2 months' time is too short of time to really, like, feel that whole aspect out. I would say the first 3 months of our van life adventures, we didn't even meet another van lifer.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, like, having the full-time work as you're doing your first couple of months of van life, I think is a little bit hard.
Yeah.
Because she was saying she ended up staying at campgrounds almost the full week. So, like, Monday to Friday, she's parked at a campground,
just
paying for
Wi-Fi.
A campground, just have Wi-Fi, and probably be able to spread out a little bit.
Because mm-hmm.
when you're in a really small space like that, it is nice to have the picnic table, to mm-hmm. have, you know, an area where you can put some stuff outside and not feel like they're going to, mm-hmm. like, disappear or whatever. So, you know, for her, it wasn't necessarily probably a combination of, like, the best living space, actually having what she needs to be able to do her job, and then being able to travel at the same time as that. So I don't think that her vehicle actually met her needs in terms of her full-time living and working arrangement.
Yeah. And we hope that you guys listen to this and take advice from it. Don't feel like that we're, like, being mean to these people, because we're not at all. We're really just trying to, you know, assess the situation and figure out how we would make it better for ourselves.
I feel like we're always just trying to be positive, you know? Yeah. It's like, you found a problem. Here's we'll find you a solution, you know? And I think a lot of the van life mentality is that you need to be a problem solver. And so, like, if you don't have enough battery to run your computer all day, figure out a way to make enough battery. Like, yeah. How can you, what can you buy? What tool can you use? Because there's so much stuff out there mm-hmm. that is going to enable you to live van life the way that you want to live van life, however that looks. You know, whether it is working the full-time 40-hour a week, or if it's just traveling and enjoying or whatever, you know, there is things that you can purchase or that you can set up inside your van that will make whatever you want possible.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Alex. I think it's an amazing opportunity to become a problem solver if you aren't, and you are willing to dive headfirst into projects and try to figure it out, because that's pretty much what van life is. Whether you're traveling to a new destination or you're fixing something in the van, there's always a problem that's going to be ahead, and it's how you attack that problem.
Yeah, and that sometimes takes away from the fun of being on the road.
For sure.
And I think that's one of the things that people dislike about the lifestyle the most is that, you know, like we ended up in the shop and we ended up with something, you know, happening to the vehicle and you have to fix this and, you know, and if you're thinking, if you're going into it thinking every day is going to be a beautiful Pinterest, Instagram, and then you're at the side of the road pumping your tire up, you know, because you got a flat or something, and you're like, this isn't how it's supposed to be. That's, you know, the mindset of it, not necessarily the fact that you blew a tire, you know, that van life is horrible and everything mm-hmm. is bad. It's like, how are you going to attack these problems when they come up and move through them with grace?
I'm going to give you a little sneak peek for one of our future episodes, and realistically, this could have been something that could have been so bad. Recently, we actually had...
If you're tired of hearing us asking you to come and join our Patreon, you know what to do. Come and join the Patreon, and you can listen to this entire episode ad-free, as well as so much bonus content all month long. fnavanlife.com/Patreon. So let's end the podcast on a super fun note. This is the van life anthem we didn't know we needed. This song is by Willie Carlisle, and it is a hilarious ode to van life. The article says that they appreciate how Carlisle acknowledges that van life isn't as glamorous as it is on Instagram, posting in selfies from the luxurious comforts of their $300,000 Mercedes-Benz.
Before we play this song, we would rather you watch stuff on YouTube, because you're going to get more of an inside scoop of actual van life compared to that Instagram post selfie lifestyle.
So come and check us out, FNA Van Life, on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all of those things. We do try to share the realness, the rawness, the Petro-like situations on our social media and our YouTube channel. So we would love for you guys to come and join us there. Be sure to leave that 5-star review wherever you're listening to this podcast. And until next time, make it an FNA day.
Quit my job, making minimum wage, look fairly well twice, neck half my age. I'm looking for somewhere that can handle the rage of a young man on the run. With rarely paid taxes and shitty insurance, a glove box full of summons and warrants, a finely tuned wish things were that weren't, you could say I was looking for fun. So I bought an 01 red Dodge Ram, bought 2 pints of whiskey and a 30 of hams. Now I'm peeing in bottles and eating from cans. But you can't call me homeless, friends, cause I live in a van. They call it van life, I've been told this. It's a fine life, I've been sold this. It's a fine line between having to and choosing it. Let's roll up, let's blow this. Well, the 7-Eleven's a sure bellyache. I subsist on a mere wake and bake. Talladega to Chicago's lakes, or I'll take your largest case. So, and all the girls from Chickamauga to Passamaquoddy speak enviously of my van's rusted body. This old thing might just be a Bugatti, the way I get it from 60 to 0. Yeah, I'm 60 miles of Fargo on a northern track. I'm burning rubber, no looking back. Pushing that thing like a maniac to get tipped out like a stripper. In singles and crack. Ooh, I wish someone would fund Amtrak. Instead, it's the van life. I've been told this. It's a fine line. I've been sold this. It's a fine line between having to and choosing it. Let's roll up. Let's blow this. A little gritty, it's a far cry from Seattle's tent cities. All in all, life's pretty pretty from the Starship Enterprise. Still a guy with a house and a big old lawn. Thinks his clock's too good for me to park on. And bangs on my door with a letter that tells about a thousand ways he can make my life hell. And he's worse than the guy who put a brick through my glass and robbed me blind and siphoned the gas. At least I know that guy needed it bad. Oh, I wish that old boy well. In the meantime, a cop is banging on my door, telling me I can't park here no more. What do you do, friends? What do you say? Gotta rev up the engine, drive away. Chalk it up to the van life. I've been told this, it's a fine life. I've been sold this, it's a fine line between having to and choosing it. Let's roll up, let's blow this. Certain folks, fractal highways, friends like smoke. It all goes up and you end up alone. It's like the internet is your real home. Call of the wild, call of the road, the endless search for a clean commode. I'm a trucker of emotive payloads, backed up on guitar. Yeah, I'm a public park patron, library sleuth. I'm a thrift store grifter of western suits, bringing out three chords of the truth like a wash rag on a bar. Every time I'm feeling down on my luck, think I might trade it in for a couple of bucks. I hear some guy like Elon Musk talk about how we're all gonna get cyber trucks. I thank God life must be easy when you're one of these dang rich gentlemen. And I'm pretty sure that I prefer the van life. I've been told this, it's a fine life. I've been sold this. It's a fine line between having to and choosing it. Let's roll up, let's smoke her down. It's big rig, new town, same old night, the whole world over, whole world over. Sitting sad and wondering why meritocracy's a lie.